Oh, Pinky. I am feeling so legit tonight. I know my wire's in the wrong place, but you know, I have a little microphone. So let me know if you can, hear me. Do I have everything turned on correctly? Post in the chat. That you can hear me okay. I think I just muted myself and then unmuted myself. Okay, good. I'm in my new office, no longer in the bedroom. I had originally set up this desk in my bedroom because I had two guest rooms with some pretty fancy, not fancy, but like heirloom furniture in it. And I finally decided I had to get the desk out of the bedroom. So here I am in my new office. One of the big iron bed that Ken's father was born on, apparently, is now in the basement, and that's okay, right? That is okay. So as we get started, as people come in, I want to talk just really briefly about the race, okay? So if you haven't heard, you got an email this week about the Don't Stop Believin' 5K, 10K half marathon. This is the second year we've done this race. And y'all, I guess about 80 girls did it last year. And I just get goosebumps just even thinking about it. It was amazing. It was so cool to see first-time girls doing their, you know, races for the first time, you know, 5Ks, 10Ks, and half marathoners. First-time racers, first-time walkers. I actually walked in on the half marathon with two girls, and it was their first half marathon, and it was just incredible. We, Corinne always talks about how she always worked hard to finish races, and about how some of the races that she actually ran in. Closed down before she ever got done. And she swore if she ever put on a race, she would not do that. And not only does she not close the race down before everyone's done, she waits at the finish line until the very last person comes in. It's just amazing. It's just the coolest thing ever. If any of you all on this call were at the race last year, you should post in the chat about how much fun it was. I'm actually going to do a Q&A on it this weekend. So if you have any questions about race weekend, about how the race is put together, about the course or anything like that. I think it's Saturday. I'll probably do it Saturday around 8 in the morning at Central Time. And then we'll put it in the podcast so that you guys will have it as well if you can't make it live. But seriously, think about it. Look on the website under events. There's a whole page dedicated to the race. It is June 1st. Here in Nashville, yes, it's usually warm on June 1st, so we start at 6 a.m. We got a good sweat in last year, but everybody survived. We had tons of water and lots of love on the course. One of the cool things about it is that you start and stop in the same place. So regardless of which distance you choose, it's an out and back. So you go out halfway and you come back. So all the time on the course, you are running into tribe sisters, right? So it's pretty neat to have the greenway, you know, virtually to yourselves because it's so early in the morning. And at the same time, everybody you run into is a PMP tribe member. So it's really cool, y'all. I did a Q&A on it last year. Corinne was going to do it. She was sick. So I stepped in and did it for her. And y'all, I cried just talking about it. Talking about my first half marathon, and it's just an amazing race. Okay, enough of that. There are hands raised, so I will move on to see who we've got here today and do a little coaching. Joyce, you looks like you're first. Calling you up now. I got all kinds of screens going here. I got to figure out where everybody is.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on front tonight?
Well, I am a New Year's baby. This is my first coaching call. So,
well, welcome. You've been with us a month now, and you're still here. That's awesome.
I'm still here. So I work full time, and I'm taking some college classes as well right now. And we had our first exam about a week ago, and I had a kind of a habit or an issue that I've known that I had since college the first time around. Okay. And also have with work that kind of popped back up again. Okay. And I wanted to talk about it. I have another exam coming up in another week. Plus, again, it's just kind of something that comes up with work. Okay. So anytime I have something that I'm nervous about or I don't want to do or I'm stressed or insecure about or any of those things, anything I don't want to do, especially if it's time sensitive, I have a habit of telling myself that if I can just like munch on something while I'm doing it, it's that same kind of numbing thing that, you know, I do to overeat. But in this case, it's a short time. I know that I only need to do it for a little while and then I'll be done with the thing and I can get back on track. Or that's what I tell myself. Mm-hmm. Doesn't usually happen.
Right.
And so I just need some help with some, you know, action items or thought processes when that comes up again. Anytime I have an exam or work project where I get the urge to handle it that way, I want a better way to handle it.
Okay. So why do you think you do that?
Like I said, it's a habit that I think I got into in college. I think I do it now because I feel like it's worked in the past. Like it gets me through that short term.
Why do you think it works?
I don't know. Like I said, it's like it numbs me or it, I've always said like I can do four things at once, but I have to do at least two. You know, if there's something I'm having trouble focusing on or I don't want to focus on, if I can halfway focus on something else, it seems to help me kind of get through that thing that I'm trying not to do.
Okay. So let me tell you this first. You can only do one thing at a time.
That's what I've read.
Think about it. If you have three things if you have all three things in front of you, you're not doing all three things at the same time. Mm-hmm. You're doing a little bit here, then you're changing tasks and doing a little bit here, then you're changing tasks and doing a little bit here.
Right.
So there's only one thing you can do at a time. So stop telling yourself you can do a lot of things at a time.
Okay.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Right. So let's say right now you're talking to me and there's TV playing in the background. You might hear the noise of the TV, but you can't pay attention to me and the TV at the same time.
Right.
Okay. So it's not, you know, it's not what it's probably doing. I don't know what it's doing. What do you think it's doing?
I don't know. Maybe it's if I start doing something else, whatever it is, and eating is just my first go-to, it gets me doing something and then I go do the thing that I've been avoiding doing. Maybe. So,
do you think it's distracting you from being worried or afraid or, you know, is it taking your mind off of something before? Mm-hmm. That's probably what it's doing. There's a term, a coaching term called buffering that is essentially meaning distracting. So if you, let's say you have a big test to study for, but calm yourself down for a minute. You're going to watch 30 minutes of TV just to settle down and have a rest for a minute. I'm going to watch some TV and then I'll study. Mm-hmm. Same thing. I'm going to have a snack and then I'll study. I'll have a snack while I study. All that is distracting you from whatever discomfort you're going through in the moment, whether it's fear or worry or stress or whatever it is. Okay, that's playing in the background. The food is covering that up. Okay, and when I say covering that up, what that's actually doing is just postponing the inevitable feelings that are going to come back up. Okay, so if you're worried about passing the test and you eat because you're worried, when you finish eating, you're still going to be worried and you still haven't studied or you haven't studied effectively. Okay. Yeah. If you can create a situation where you don't eat and you focus 100% on your studying, then all of a sudden you're not worried anymore because you're studying. And you've dealt with the worry because you're studying.
Right.
Right? You're giving it all your focus. So all the food is doing is distracting you.
delaying the inevitable is spot
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one thing I've tried that helps is kind of getting in a location that is kind of isolating, whether it's the library or wherever, out of my house, out of anywhere that I can distract myself. So that seems to help. So that's one thing I definitely want to try. But you know, there's hour limitations and stuff like that. So I'm trying to come up with some backup plans as well. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Can you create a space in your house that is your study space? You know that in that place at the table or that at that desk, that's your study space. In my bedroom, and it just didn't feel right. Thing in here, it's the only focus for this room, and I close the door, I know I have to go to work and my entire focus is here.
Yeah.
So maybe creating a place. You can hear me okay, right?
It's cutting in and out a little bit.
It's cutting in and out. Okay.
Yeah, I'm following.
Okay. Let's see if this is better. Maybe my little transmitter's not working.
It's working right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me know if it starts cutting in and out again. I'm seeing flashies on the chat there. Okay. So I know when I come in here that the focus is all on work. Okay. I even closed the door. Actually, my husband closed the door, which is really nice of him. So see if you can create a place like that in your house.
Yeah. That. And a habit around it too. Like you said, if it's shutting the door or if it's, I don't know, I've got one room, like if it's pulling the right pillows out and a blanket or something and sitting on the floor and like, you know, creating a habit around it.
Yeah.
So that my brain knows this is work time.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's like a bedtime routine or a morning routine. You know, if you create a study routine, you know that it's time to 100% focus on whatever it is you need to study for.
Great. Thank you.
Does that help?
That does. Absolutely. Absolutely does.
What else you got? Anything else?
Not really. Let me focus on this one right now.
All right.
That's exactly what I needed to hear.
So you have an exam coming up?
Yeah. There's 6 of them this semester. So this will be the second one.
Okay. Well, good luck. Study hard. Don't put it off. You know, put it off just delays the inevitable, right?
Very, very true.
All right.
That wasn't so bad. Thank you.
No. You're welcome. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, let's see who's next. Amanda. I'm trying to unmute you. I thought I got it. All right.
Did it work?
Yep.
Okay, sorry. Yep. I have
to go. How are you?
Good. Finally. Sorry, he got startled by the ding.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I have some heavy shit.
Great. Which
is what I thought to bring into it.
Okay.
I have a couple things, actually.
Okay.
One, I want to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the problems with that ties into the other big thing.
Okay.
So we bought our house last year. We moved in next to my mom, and I thought this is going to be great. Like when we start having babies, we're going to have free babysitters. She'll be with my kids all the time. And we thought it was going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're going to get real personal real quick. But then we found out that they had like homeless people living in their backyard and they were all doing meth and all that good stuff. So now before we have kids, we're going to move because I'm not having my kids around that. So school has been put on hold because I don't know how a student loan will work, like with applying for a new mortgage and all that stuff. But mostly the issue with my mom is we used to be really close, but now she's like a completely different person. And I know it's because of the drugs, but I keep making it mean something about me, because when we get into a fight, she always calls me judgmental and cold-hearted and all that good stuff. So I then eat my feelings, which, you know, that helps, but I keep making her drug problem have something to do with me.
Why are you doing that?
That's a good question.
So what are you making her drug problem mean about you?
That I guess I'm not, good enough sounds stupid, because that doesn't even make sense, but that's like my first thought. Like, I don't make her life good enough, I guess, for her to not want to do drugs.
Okay. But is that your responsibility? No.
Not at all.
It's not. She's making a choice. Okay. She could be doing drugs. She could be watching TV obsessively. She could be shopping. She could be doing whatever it is that she's doing. And it really is her choice. Now, why do you, I really want you to think about why you're taking the responsibility for that.
We just always had such a close relationship, and I wanted so bad for my kids to have the relationship with their grandma that I had with mine. Mm-hmm. And it's, I keep trying to make it happen, and it's just not going to happen. And I guess that's what I'm trying to fix. Like, I'm wanting to fix that for my kids, I guess, but I don't think it can be that way.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting that for your kids. Okay. Wishing that that could happen. But realistically, I think you know, you're already in a place where you know that at least today that wouldn't happen. You just need to be okay with that. You know, you need to remember that your mom is making her choice, and now it's time for you to make your choice. Okay? It doesn't, whatever she does has no reflection on you. Right? It's not, you know, because you're not enough. It's not because you're, you know, better than enough. It's not anything. It's just her choice. So when did you start?
In March last year.
In March last year. So you know the model.
Yeah.
So if you put mom's choice in the C line, what's your thought?
It's stupid.
Okay.
Which doesn't help.
Well, no. I mean, but that's at least, you know, I thought you were going to say, I'm not enough. You know,
no, it pisses me
she's using drugs over me or something like that. When you say it's stupid. You know, how does that make you feel?
Pissed.
Mm-hmm. And when you're pissed, what do with mom?
Eat and fight. Mm-hmm. Hardcore fight.
Uh-huh. And that results in, I don't want to call you stupid, but it results in you not showing up for the relationship either, because you're eating and fighting, right?
Right.
So how do you create an intentional model with mom's choice as the C line? What do you think you do?
Decide how I want to feel about it.
Mm-hmm. How do you want to feel about it?
I don't know if like understanding is the right word, because I can't understand that.
No, but you don't. No, that's probably not what you want. How about just neutral?
That would be a good one.
Yeah. Just, you know, maybe even acceptance that it's her decision.
Right.
You know, maybe, you know, what thought could get you to neutral about her choices?
It's just her choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you feel neutral, how do you act toward her?
if we talk, we just try not to bring that up, I guess.
Yeah. Or maybe you're a little bit distant. Maybe you're not as engaged. Maybe that's okay. I don't know. You have to decide how you want, you know, what you see. If, with her making this choice, you have to decide what your relationship with her is going to be.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So what are your next steps?
We got into a fight yesterday and she said she's done with me and how judgmental I am and stuff. So I don't think I want to reach out about it, but I think maybe just feeling okay about it and practicing that thought that it's just her choice and there's nothing I can do about it, no matter what I say or do. It's just her choice, and that's very black and white.
Yeah.
So,
I wonder how she's feeling.
She's miserable.
She's what?
She's miserable. She's always miserable. She's been doing that since I was a kid. She says it's just like medicine. So, I mean, she makes a lot of justifications and stuff for it. So, and she's on disability and stuff. So, like, she does have health issues. I'm sure drugs aren't helping, but, I mean.
So, ideally, right now is probably not the best time for her to have a relationship with any grandkids anyway.
Right.
So, what you're wishing for your kids is, you know, an ideal situation that doesn't exist right now.
Right.
Right. You know, they can, you can probably set them up with other good relationships, though. You want to put your brain to work on that.
Yeah, my husband has a huge family, and they're all really good people. And
yeah,
I know they'll have a good family. It's just this one specifically, it feels like I'm grieving for it, even though I never had it. But it's something that I've been trying to come to terms with, because right now it's just not.
So let me ask you this. What if you had kids? If you don't have them now, right? No kids yet? Okay. So let's fast forward about 10 years and you've got a couple of kids and your mother is not, you know, she's cleaned up, everything's great, and your kids just don't like her. She's not warm and fuzzy. She's not the cookie baking grandma. She's not whatever it is. You know, they're just like, Mom, she's not any fun. Can we go, you know, play next door? Would you grieve it then?
Probably not.
What I suspect you're actually grieving is your own relationship with your grandparents. Are they gone?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I suspect you're actually grieving.
Not
necessarily this future relationship that may or may not happen with your own kids and your mom.
That is something I had not thought about. Mm-hmm. She's been gone for a long time, so that thought didn't even come into my head.
Yeah. You might just be missing her.
I do a lot.
Yeah. I miss mine too. I haven't had grandparents since the 80s. So I understand. But there's a lot of warm memories that you can relive. And you know, a lot of ways to honor your grandparents, your grandmother. You know, you probably have some recipes of hers or something of hers in the house that you can, you know, enjoy or something like that.
She helped me be the way that I am today.
She helped you.
She helped me gain the weight that I have gained.
Oh, well.
She made me pancakes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day. Well, until she went blind, they just started getting a little more burnt every time.
Well, that's how she showed love for you, right? Look at you smiling.
Oh, yeah.
So she you know, she offered them to you. She didn't make you eat them, but that's a beautiful memory that you have of her, burnt pancakes, right?
Yeah, it was all about food with her, but she was really strong too. When she found out she was diabetic, she had stopped like that. Like, she dropped the weight and, I mean, she still had the diabetes, but she couldn't eat that stuff anymore. So she's going to give it to the stuff she loves, to the people she loves. So,
So what would she want for you today? What do you think she would want for you?
to take care of myself and my kids and not worry about my mom. She can take care of herself.
Yeah. So maybe that's a really great way to honor your grandmother. What did you call her?
Mamaw.
Mamaw. Yep. My husband had a mamaw. He loved her. She was actually born on her 60th birthday. So she had a really special, he had a really special connection with her.
Yeah.
So think about her with love and honor your relationship with her. And as you go through life and have kids, they may have a similar relationship with your mom or your husband's mom, or they may not. But I bet they end up with some kind of special relationship in their life, because most people do.
I hadn't thought about that. It's not, I guess, who it was with. It was the relationship itself.
Yeah, could be.
That helps a lot.
Good. Good deal.
Thank you. That was super helpful.
You're very welcome. Anything else?
Better. No, that was it.
You feel better?
Yeah, a lot better.
Yeah, you came into this going, I got something really heavy. And now you're just all smiles and thinking about burnt pancakes and everything is right with the world, right? All right, lady. You take care. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Who's next? Rebecca. You're next. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Is my sound still doing okay? Since I put my little receiver up here on the desk. Good.
I can hear you fine. Yes.
Perfect.
I'm a newbie and I'm very nervous to be on here.
Okay.
I've lost 75 pounds prior to Corinne. Uh-huh. And I'm struggling with the binge restrict cycle and I need to break away from it. And I make my plans. Uh-huh. I actually put a post into the Queen's Club and I did get some feedback there. And what I took away from that was that I need to do the coaching call and more TDLs and models and a more realistic plan. And the plans that I do have, I think are pretty realistic, but I have, I don't want to say triggers, but things like if I don't sleep well at night at work, I'll come home and I just made a protocol that I don't go into the kitchen and then just eat everything. I go and put my stuff away, take a shower and then go to bed and take a nap because that's one thing that I've caught myself doing. So I'm just kind of all over the place with basically the binge eating and I'm just looking for some coaching on how I can get to a better place. I lost my weight via the HCG diet and I never learned how to maintain and how to take care of myself. So I'm forever in the diet thinking. And prior to joining the tribe in January, that's what I would do for the last 4 or 5 years. I'd lose the weight. And then if it came back on like 25 to 35 pounds, I'd order it up and then do it again. And I can't do that anymore. And I'm just exhausted. So here I am.
It gets tiresome losing the same weight over and over, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. I don't blame you. I get it. I get it. So the binge cycle, is it most of the time when you're tired?
It's when I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
When I leave my lane is what I've been calling it. If I start worrying about someone else's business and not my own, if I wait too long to eat, and I know we don't need to compensate, but I do. Oftentimes I'm home alone for a whole 24 hours without my husband and without my stepkids. So if I'm alone, I think boredom or distraction eating. But it's hard to stop the storm eating for me,
But you do stop. It's not hard to stop because you do stop.
Yes, I do stop.
You're not eating right now, so you do stop.
No, it's I just feel like I'm caught up in it, and I don't. Last night I had a storm eat, and right in the middle of it, I was like, "What am I doing? Mm-hmm. What is my? Am I tired? I wasn't tired. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any emotional issues. And all the normal triggers weren't there. And I'm like, is this just a habit? Mm-hmm. Because I've been doing it so much lately that I was home alone and this is a habit. And that was my feeling that I had thought or that I felt that this was just a habit. And I'm like, okay. And since I'm a newbie, I'm trying to do the no BS. And then everybody's saying, read this book, that book. And I'm like all over the place trying to do Atomic Habits, which I think is a really good book, but I think I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah. As a newbie, you need to stay with no BS. Okay. All this other stuff that everyone is recommending is fantastic, but you really have to have the no BS, the basics down and the no BS program understood down and understood in order to move into anything else. So all this other stuff that like accountability that Corinne has released this month, you know, you got to remember we have girls that have been in the tribe for a year and 2 years and 5 years. So she's refreshing content for them, which is great for you when you've been in the tribe for a year or 2 years or 5 years, right? But mm-hmm. for you, you need to stick with no BS. Have you done the taking control module yet?
Yes. I've done it like 3 times.
It's good, isn't it?
Yes, but it's like I go through it because that's what one of the questions were or someone had asked me and I'm like, yes, I have. But it's like it's not sticking or I listen.
I think it is sticking and here's why. First of all, when you are a habitual overeater, you're not going to just stop, okay? It's like Corinne and the ice cream. You know the story where she used to get the carton and then, you know, you're going to start noticing small steps that you take that are starting to break that cycle. For instance, last night when you stopped in the middle of your eating and said, what am I doing? Had you done that before?
No. I haven't acknowledged it, no.
Yeah.
I stopped, no.
So that, and when you said, what am I doing, did you stop?
I did.
Yeah. So that's a pretty big step, don't you think? If you catch yourself in the middle of an overeat like that, in the middle of a storm eat, and you say, whoa, put on the brakes here. Let's think about this for a minute. That's a pretty big step, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you believe me?
I do, but
you just want to stop completely. I just want to, you know, I just want it to be done. Yes.
Yes.
Don't worry about those baby steps. Don't worry about, you know, making sure we're changing habits. Let's just, you know, call it done, right?
Yeah. So that's probably my biggest obstacle is getting from where I am and where I think I need to be because mm-hmm. I make my plans for mm-hmm. where I want to be, not where I am now. And I think that's where the making the more realistic plans comes to play. But at the same time,
let me ask you this. When you get home from work and the house is empty, what is your normal go-to food?
Gosh.
Just give me one. One of your favorite
cookies.
Cookies. Okay. What if you put cookies on the plan for after work tomorrow?
I don't like to eat at 7:30 in the morning, especially cookies.
Okay.
I binge. That makes me nervous.
Here's why you would do it. Okay. I'm sure somewhere in that's what it's called, right? Taking control. Mm-hmm. Corinne talks about the two parts of the brain, right? Mm-hmm. You have the frontal part of the brain, which is very conscious and decision-making, and you have the back part of the brain, which is very reactionary. Can't remember what she calls them because I've heard different terms, but I'll just call them the front and the back for now.
Okay.
If you put cookies on the plan, you've made the decision today what you're going to eat tomorrow, what you're going to allow yourself to eat tomorrow. Okay?
Okay.
They aren't on that. So you've made that decision with the front part, conscious part, decision-making part of your brain. If you don't put them on the plan, then you come in tomorrow and that reactionary part of your brain where all the habits are going to say, hey, we're supposed to have some cookies right now. Let's go have some cookies.
Okay.
And you're reacting to the habit or the stress or the whatever the trigger is rather than planning it consciously ahead of time. And if you plan it consciously ahead of time, when you get home tomorrow, you see it on the plan and it almost takes the oomph out of it. You know, that's when you say, wait, it's on the plan so I can eat it, but do I really want it?
Gotcha.
It's okay. Almost like a little bit of a brain hack. And again, this may not change overnight. Mm-hmm. The more you do it, the more you give your brain an opportunity to say, you know what? I really don't want cookies at 7:30 in the morning or whatever time you said you come home from work. The other thing you can try is a pattern interrupt. Like you said, instead of going into the kitchen is off limits. When I get home from work, I go straight to bed and I take a rest. If you do that, do you avoid the overeat?
Yes, I did yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So I think the pattern interrupt that you came up with is probably, you know, something that you can also try. But I would definitely, I'd put your binge foods on the plan and give yourself a chance to look at the plan and decide if you really want them. Because if you're going to eat them anyway, if there's a really good chance you're going to eat them anyway, why not practice following the plan rather than, you know, because you're not going to binge on chicken and broccoli, right?
No.
No. Nobody does. Not. Right.
Yeah. No. There was one point that I did put two cookies on my plan and I did okay. But then there was like this feeling or this thought that it just like sabotaged it. So.
Oh, no. I think you should put like 10 or 12 cookies on the plan. And then put that plan right next to the cookies. Say, look, I planned 10 or 12. Do I really want to eat 10 or 12 cookies? Oh, my gosh. No. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And I'm pretty sure there's been a handful of people who've told me this, but I'm resistant to, you know.
So what's it going to hurt to try?
It won't. I think I need to.
Right.
And then make that choice when the time comes.
Here's the other thing I would do. I would do recovery worksheet every time you overeat. Every single time. And I'd stack those puppies in the kitchen next to your pantry, next to whatever it is, wherever it is that you go to eat. And the reason is because you can go back through those and you can identify trends. You've already done a little bit of this work, but as you see that stack begin to mount, you're going to realize, but one of the questions it asks is, what would you do differently? Okay.
Yes.
And the answer isn't not eat. It's, yeah, not go into the kitchen or eat before I leave work, or, you know, you might try different things and actually find a pattern interrupt that feels good rather than, you know, you might be white knuckling all the way to the bedroom to lay down in the bed. You might find a pattern interrupt that feels better. It also gives you an opportunity to visualize that pattern interrupt. Okay. Mm-hmm. Visualization is amazing because what it does is it gives your brain practice without actually doing it. And your brain doesn't know the difference. So if you and I visualize right now walking down the beach, our brain thinks we're walking down the beach. We're practicing walking down the beach. Okay. So visualization, you know, I would practice that too. I would practice myself coming home from work and taking a big, long good morning stretch and walking into the bedroom and putting my pajamas on and saying, I think I'll watch Good Morning America for a little while and take a little nap. But visualize the whole thing about it. You know, how comfortable you feel, how, you know, how good the bed smells, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, visualize everything about it and practice that visualization in your mind because your brain thinks it's actually happening.
Okay. All right.
There are also some really great calls on the website where Corinne has coached the binge cycle. And I'm trying to think of what, let me look this up real quick, because there's one that's really super good that I want you to look for. It's my friend Permjeet. And she's been coached several times. And she is just, she's very open to coaching on her binge eating. And I've just gone to the wrong place. Hang on just a second. And I'm going to tell you which the date on the call so that you can find it. If you just go to the call replays and you search for the cycle of binge shame. So just binge and shame. It's September 25th, 2018. It's a really great call. So if you even if you just search binge, there's lots of calls on binge eating. And Corinne is really fantastic on coaching this stuff, especially the more recent things.
Okay, good. I will definitely look at those.
Okay. Does that help?
It does. I just needed a little more direction and I don't know. Everyone said go to the coaches.
Yeah. So, well, I want you to take some time and look at your progress too. Okay. I think it's going to be really key for you to see, even though you overate yesterday, I think it's huge that you stopped yourself in the middle of that and questioned the overeat. That's a, you know, for repeat bingers, that's a big deal. I mean, you've got to know that that's a big deal. You didn't just, you know, go all the way through it like you normally did. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Realistic planning is going to be your key.
Yes.
Those cookies on the plan. Then see how your brain reacts to them. It might throw a fit. It might be like, what? Mm-hmm. But right, if it gets you to where you want to go, that's what you want to try, right?
Absolutely. I need to try something.
Yep. All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
All right. See you. Bye. Okay. Who's next? Danielle.
Sorry. I don't think I'd be on this quick.
Well, you're the only one who had your hand raised. So I'm telling everybody else, if they want to be coached, raise their hand. Because they'd be next. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on for you?
I really love the office behind you. All the paintings look really nice.
Oh, those are our, you know, those paint and pour kinds of places.
Oh, yeah.
You had to do something. My husband is very artistic. I am not so much. I'm more the analytical type.
It balances out.
Yes, it does. It does. Thank you.
Yeah. So currently where I'm at right now, kind of similar to the first caller and a mixture of the last one as well. So basically I'm in this space right now where I think I was on a call a couple weeks ago where I run my own business. It works really well. However, I'm finding it difficult to be able to spend the mental strain of working through beliefs for like personal stuff, working through beliefs and like TDLs and models for health on top of, you know, 24-hour plan. So as a newbie as well, I'm just feeling a little exhausted. And I try my best to only go in the Facebook group if I have a question so that I don't get like too flooded with other people. But I've kind of had to take a step back from the no BS path. Not because I don't want to, but because I've had some new clients, which is great, but it means more time for my business. And it's hard right now for me to figure out how to delegate time, because the more that I try and do business, health, vice versa, and then when I realize I don't have much time, that's when the overeating and binge eating would start, like stress eating, where, you know, I'll have, like yesterday I went to the grocery store and I walked past the aisle where they had those, what's it called? Dibs. I think those like little guys, the ice cream, like covered in chocolate. I was able to say no to that, but I wasn't able to say no to the two packs of Reese's. And although it's a small win, you know, it's hard because since I've, what's it called? Joined a couple weeks ago, I've gained about 3 pounds. And I know that's obviously part of it's overeating and that kind of part. And I'm just starting to feel a little bit down because of it.
Okay, sure. So it's interesting that you could, why did you go to the grocery store? Did you go because
I ran out of lemons and iced coffee.
Okay. And you could say no to the ice cream, but not the Reese's. You could have said no to the Reese's. You just chose not to.
Yeah. Basically my, what's it called? my exception has been, oh, I'll get the Reese's Big Cup, like the ones that are like huge that are just portioned out for one, and they were out of them, so I got two of the packs instead. Again, not great, but that's where my brain went.
Okay. Was the big one planned?
No. That's something that's been hard for me, is trying to figure out that realistic plan, because okay, I'll feel like I think that I'm doing it, and then like today I plan for the breakfast to be a little mini breakfast burrito, some iced coffee, and I think that was it. And I had a breakfast burrito, the iced coffee, and a little protein cake, like I think 50 calorie ones, and two chocolate covered like strawberry slices. So it's not bad, but it's just not on the plan that I planned for.
Okay. So let's talk about the overwhelm first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How far have you gotten in No BS?
I'm about to finish finish the third module. I don't remember which one that was called.
Okay. And how much time does it take to listen to one lesson?
It doesn't take that long to listen, but more to integrate and apply is really what takes time. Like, it took me a while to go through the first module because like the protocols and that kind of stuff, I wanted to give accurate time to. Okay. So what happened is I'd watch a video, which is great. Like they're really short and sweet. Mm-hmm. However, the implementation I'd keep putting off. So I'm like, oh, I need to have more time or more mental space to, you know, be able to do that.
Okay. So what time of day are you listening to the videos?
Nighttime.
Nighttime. And do you have time nighttime to be listening to the videos?
And to listen, yes.
Do a little worksheet? What do you mean by integrate?
Yeah. So for me, what I mean like integrate is like the recovery worksheets, the TDLs, or like before the first module was like writing a protocol, the things that just the creation parts, those are what I don't have that much time for, or I don't make time for at night.
I think that's the key. You're not making time for them. You know, there is no exact amount of time that going through No BS takes. It's self-paced. Okay. So somebody who, you know, doesn't work and is like gung-ho and doesn't have anything else going on can get through No BS in like a week.
Yeah.
And doing everything, right? Or even less. But someone who has a busier schedule or wants to listen to things 14 times before they do a worksheet or something like that will take a little bit longer. It doesn't matter. You know, you move through No BS at the pace that is appropriate for you. Okay. If you find yourself getting overwhelmed, you ask yourself why. It's usually because you have some expectation of yourself to move through it faster than you're moving through it. Okay.
Definitely.
just know that that's your own expectation. It's not ours. Okay. What we want is for you to understand it enough and integrate it, use your word, so that you can move to the next spot. Okay. If you don't have time on Mondays and Tuesdays, then you just, you know, create time on Wednesday, set aside time on Wednesday or whatever it is. Okay. I really like the fact that you're wanting to listen to a lesson, do the worksheets, write the protocol, whatever, you know, whatever it is, before you move to the next thing. You know, I think that's a big plus if you do it that way. Mm-hmm. Okay. So knowing that, why do you think you are overwhelmed with it all?
I think it's because, I mean, the learning's not the hard part of it. Like for me, it's not. Learning's never the problem. It's more so, like today or this last week, I know I need to figure out the meals for the week. I know I need to workouts I'm good with. Workouts I'm fine. I just need to be actually at the gym and I can do whatever I need to do. The meal prepping, meal planning, like anything where it comes to planning has been really hard for me because I put so much mental effort into planning my day for my business and like that it's harder for me to think, okay, let me spend, you know, however much time to figure out what I want to eat, because that's something I'm trying to work on as well. I don't like to waste food. And I had a history before where I would try and plan healthy and then I wouldn't eat the healthy food. I'd go out. So now I'm trying to figure out recipes that work.
So are you doing a 24-hour plan?
I am. Yeah.
Is that hanging you up at all?
The lunch and dinner are, because if I don't have like a set idea of what to do, then I'll just, you know, not go well.
Okay. So why don't you, if you are not ready for weekly planning and food prep, just don't do them yet.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, that's, if you may grow into that, but some people just don't do that. Okay. But I would, if I were you, focus on your 24-hour plans. You know, set your intention. If you're planning your day already, you know, if you take at the end of today, if you plan tomorrow, which is, I don't know if you do, I do that for my work. Mm-hmm. I like time block my day and decide what I'm going to work on the next day. Plan your food at the same time. That way, what happens is you don't have to make that decision tomorrow. The decision's already made. You don't have to spend any energy saying, gosh, I'm hungry for lunch. I wonder what I can eat. You've already decided.
Yeah, that was definitely coming into play was decision fatigue because I would, you know, finish a call like before this, I had like a 90-minute call, and which is great. However, by that point, like my brain's kind of checked out for a good bit. So,
right. So if you know, if you already know, just don't allow any negotiations.
Okay.
You know, like I knew tonight was going to be spaghetti night, and I knew it had to be before this call or my husband wasn't going to get to eat until like 8:30. And I wasn't either. So when about, you know, 4:30 or 5 o'clock came around, I knew I was going downstairs to fix spaghetti and there was no negotiating. That was just going to be what it was. Okay. Mm-hmm. That just made things so much easier for me. I've decided that's what makes things easier for me. If you decide that knowing what you're going to eat tomorrow makes things easier, then it probably will make things easier and it'll reduce your negotiations around meals. Okay. Yeah, but you have to decide realistically. You know, if you say I'm going to have a salad tomorrow for lunch and you don't have any lettuce in the house, then that's not a realistic plan, right? That means you got to go out and you got to find one. If you're going to have a salad and you don't have time, I only have 30 minutes and I'm just going to eat this, you know, whatever instead.
That makes complete sense because that happened to me actually yesterday. I was trying to plan my 24-hour plan, and the burritos are great because they're already pre-made. They're actually really good. They're eggs, quinoa, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I always know my breakfast is pretty much dialed in because it's already done.
Right.
But it's the lunch and dinner that always screw me over, especially since I try and figure out something that I'm having to work on is timing dinner so that I can sleep throughout the night. Because one of my problems was, still is, if I eat too early or if I don't eat enough, either fat, carbs, or protein, whatever it is, I'll wake up at like 3 a.m. at a negative 3 somehow.
Hmm. So yeah, I'd load up the fats at night anyway. You know,
is there any resources on that? Because I feel like the only thing I eat for that is either avocados or coconut oil, which is good. But after, you know, you have them every single day, it gets kind of tiring.
Any kind of nuts or seeds or oils. Okay. If you eat, you know, like a salad, I'd use full fat dressing, full fat cheese, any full fat dairy, anything like that is fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Your oils, I'd choose good oils, not like vegetable oil, but, you know, olive oil or, you know, coconut oil or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
That would probably help. The other thing that might help the 3 o'clock waking up hungry is it might actually be thirst. Have a glass of water next to your bed, or at least a glass that you can go fill up in the bathroom or something and drink a big glass of water and go back to bed and see if that doesn't help. That happens to me. I don't wake up hungry, but I wake up really thirsty. And I think that's just because I know my brain knows the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So you might try that as well.
Okay.
Your body is conditioned to need the sleep in order to repair, right? It's not usually going to wake you up because you're hungry. I mean, the physiology of it is that your body fasts. It's meant to do that, right?
Yeah.
For that time that you're in bed.
Well, and that's the weird part, I think, for me was, because I drink about 90 ounces of water a day, so I feel like I get a good amount for my body weight and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it'd be to the point, I've had it happen at least 3 times. It's actually kind of insane. I'll wake up from a dream with my stomach growling, like in the dream woke me up because it was so loud. And that's kind of where it's hard because I drink water and that might help, but if my stomach's at that point, I can't fall back asleep and I just can't sacrifice less sleep just to like not eat, you know?
Is it your stomach growling or your colon growling?
I think stomach. I don't know. I don't know the difference between the two.
Well, your colon is your large intestine, which is your lower digestive system. And sometimes it will growl as well when it's getting ready to create some elimination opportunities for you. Okay.
Okay.
I'm sure Corinne would have a much more colorful way of saying poop than that.
Yeah.
But your colon also growls. So make sure, you know, make sure it's not, you could be talking yourself into hunger when it's really, you're just digestive process is working as well.
Yeah. I'll have to look into it. Cause for me, whenever that happens, I have to like eat like a tablespoon or two of like almond butter just to like have that fat or something like that. And then I fall back asleep within like 20 minutes.
Try eating that before you go to bed. See if you can not eat when you wake up.
I'd appreciate that.
Yes. That's kind of a slippery slope that you don't want to go down. I don't think you don't want to create a habit of eating because you've woken up.
Yeah. And that's something that I've been trying to figure out how to break because, it's like, I've stayed up for almost 24 hours straight when I tried to not eat when I was like at a -3 and like, I just can't sacrifice more sleep for that.
Right. So realistic plans. Mm-hmm. Why do you get a hang up on realistic plans?
I think part of it, because you hit on the head with expectations. I'm supposed to be in a wedding in June, and we tried on the dresses, I think, 2 or 3 months ago, and it was already really tight. And I think for me, in the back of my mind, even though I know, like, oh, yeah, I know how to eat better, I know how to do that kind of stuff, whenever I try and put it on the plan, I'll plan out more healthfully, even put out one Reese's when the one Reese's becomes four, or a random chip becomes, you know, whatever it is. So I think that's where it starts to plan.
All right. See if you can turn your brain this way. It's not as important what's on the plan as it is how much you eat.
Okay.
So how are you with your hunger scale?
Working on it. I feel like in the morning, it's a lot easier for me to figure it out. But when I'm working, especially sitting down, it's actually harder, I think, for me to feel the feelings. Because for me, my -2, I can almost guarantee is like stomach growling, head kind of foggy. So when I hear it, I notice it, but it's harder for me to feel.
Okay. So how about the +2 side? Are you eating at your desk? Are you eating while you're working?
No. I'm not eating while I'm working. I'm eating while I'm watching TV, which I need to break very, very soon.
Because my assignment is to eat at the table with no TV, no phone, no book, just you. Okay? And I don't care what you're eating. Whatever you've planned is what you eat. And make it realistic. Make it good, yummy. But you have to eat at the table with no TV, no phone, no book, no distractions. Okay? Yeah,
basically taking the fun out of food.
No, I'm taking the fun out of mealtime. I'm putting your focus on food. Okay? Because that's how you find your +2. Because when you start looking around, Corinne always talks about this. She says when she starts looking around and going, wonder what's going on outside, she knows that she's done.
Oh, okay.
Okay? When you become distracted from your food, when there's nothing else in front of you, when your brain starts to wander or whatever, you've probably hit your +2. You'll probably be surprised at how much you're overeating.
Okay,
because you're eating in front of the television.
Yeah, that's a good note. I didn't know about that part.
Yeah, it's called fog eating because since you're not 100% focused on your food, you just keep eating and you look down and you're like, what happened to my food, right? Well, I guess that tasted good. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
And it takes your mind off of your +2. So it also helps you plan more realistically because you're not overeating. So what you're doing right now is probably overeating and not planning realistically. Or yeah, you're using your diet rules, your diet mentality, and you're not eating on plan. So what this will do, will have you back on plan and following the hunger scale. That's how you'll get into that bridesmaid's dress.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because I know for me, the two biggest times that I overeat is usually either A, in front of the TV, or B, when I'm driving because I'm just not thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have to eat when you drive?
Nope. It's a habit that I have to break.
I would probably say there's no more eating while I'm driving. No more eating in the car.
Yeah. Something that that I've been trying to implement more so is just to put all the bags in the trunk, so that there's no way that I can get to them.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And
even if you buy Reese's, put them in the trunk.
Yeah.
Reese's, don't you want to enjoy them undistracted?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. And I put them on the plane too. That way you get to decide if you really want them. You're not reacting to stress or overwhelm or something by eating. Just like I was talking to Rebecca about.
Okay.
Make sure you're enjoying them when you eat them.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah? What else?
I think for me, like, those are the big pillars. I know accountability I need to get better at. Like, I know, especially it's accountability month, so I know it's very aptly timed. But I find that whenever I have someone or something to stay accountable to, it's a lot easier for me. It's the reason why I was able to do kickboxing for 6 years, because I had my partner who, if he went, I went. If he didn't go, I didn't go. So I think I need to have some better established accountability spaces, so that I actually not only for some reason doing the plan's not hard, it's the, as in like creating it, assessing it is a little bit difficult for me, like taking time to assess it. Haven't done a TDL yet, and I haven't really done like the model yet, even though I know I'm not at that module. I know kind of like the rough estimate of how it could be. So I think I need a little more accountability in that space.
Okay. Making a plan takes 5 minutes. Assessing the plan takes 5 minutes. Don't allow yourself any more time than that. Just get it done.
Okay.
Okay. And you have your own business. You know what time constraints, how well you can work under time constraints. Do it with your plan and your assessment. If you want an accountability partner, post in the Facebook group, or go through today's Tuesday, go through Monday's thread. There was a thread in Facebook. If you'll search the hashtag daily post. And that whole thread was, I want an accountability partner. Just go through there, pick somebody. Pick one person. You don't need more than one person.
Yeah.
If you get in a whole group, you're going to be like, oh no, I can't keep up with y'all. Pick one person. Okay? And tell them all you want is somebody to trade plan and assessment with every day. That's all I need. Okay?
Okay. That sounds good.
5 minutes on the plan, 5 minutes on the assessment. In fact, do your plan when you do your plan your day for the next, your work day.
That's what I've been doing. Like when I plan my day, I have it on the same, like second page, the 24-hour plan.
And if you have to have, like you do the pre-made burritos in the morning, if you have to buy pre-made food, there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what helps you stay on plan. Okay.
I think I might need to do that for a little bit.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. That's actually, you know, a form of food prep, to buy, you know, frozen pizzas or whatever it is that you want, pre-made salads or whatever it is that you want.
True.
You just had somebody else do the prep for you.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So you're going to go find an accountability partner?
I am. I'll go in the Facebook group right after this.
Okay. I think you're smart to stay out of there if it overwhelms you.
Yeah. It's more so because since I run my own business, I'm in my own Facebook group and then others and my coaches. So it's like to be in another one that's 3,000 people is just, can't do it.
Yeah. Then don't go. Nothing wrong with that. We have several, many people, probably a couple hundred who aren't even in the Facebook group. All they do is go to the website.
Oh, okay.
It's a thing. All right, awesome. Danielle. Take care. Good luck.
Thank you.
All righty. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Joanne, you are next. Hey there.
Cafe, I can't believe I got on. I just came on the call. I just watched a lot of that call, but I'm like, oh, I'll raise my hand, but I'm sure there's a line of people ahead of me.
Nope, you were next.
Oh, I'm so grateful that I got to get on with you. I sent out an SOS on Ask Coaches earlier. I didn't write SOS, but it's the same situation. I keep doing the same circle cycle. Like, it's like I came back from camp all motivated, all in a great space, and it was good the first week. I weighed myself and I dropped 4 pounds and it was great. Then next week, this week that just came by, I was positive all week, doing my plans, doing my assessments. And then I got on the scale and I was up 1.4. So that, and I had been sick since I got back from camp. So I haven't been doing any of my usual stuff like working out, probably not drinking enough water. None of it, it's like not, I'm not really on routine. But I just, the 1.4, and I tried to TDL it. I tried to talk to my accountability group. And then I was like, oh, I'm good. I'm good. But nope, I just went. It was a free-for-all all weekend. I didn't write any plans. And then now
all here. All over a pound and a half.
Yes. Now I'm probably up, probably 7, because when I put my pants on today, they're tight. And I just feel like it's this, I keep doing it. It's like this victim state I come back to every time. Like, I'm the only person in PNP that can't do this. Why do I keep doing this? I lose everything. It's like, that's why I'm like on the site. Like, I went back to the stages of weight loss. That's some of my accountability partners are working with you in coaching. Mm-hmm. They recommended that. I did that. I went through my notes tonight from camp. Like, but I just feel like, oh gosh, now it's hard to, even today I couldn't get back on track. It's like,
why not?
I don't know. I just,
it's yes, you like, do. Why not?
I don't know. I just, it's like,
it's easier to stay off track, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's easier. It's easier just to eat and not have to work at it. Mm-hmm. We just ignore the scale and we just eat and it doesn't matter until we put our pants on.
Right.
Yeah. But it does. It does matter. You're just hiding from it. That's all. So is losing the weight worth the work?
I think it is.
Yeah. You think it is?
Well, last week I thought it was when I was like, you know, this is great.
If it just is?
It's going to be easy.
Yeah, what if it just is worth it? You know, and what if it's okay if you make a mistake, you just plan the next day?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Are you a perfectionist?
No, I'm not. I don't think I am.
I think you might have perfectionism tendencies there.
Maybe.
Have you read the book Finish?
No. Do I have the book? Yes. Did I start it?
There's a concept that he teaches. It's probably my favorite concept in the whole book because it was totally me before I lost my weight. It's called the day after perfect. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the day after perfect is the day that you have the diet mistake. And it's all about, you know, you're perfect for this time and this time and this time. Just like you went to camp, lost 4 pounds, felt great. Then I had a bad day, right? Mm-hmm. That's the day after perfect. How do you handle that day? So if you don't read any other part of that book, I want you to look up the day after perfect because that's what I would do. You know, I was great on a diet as long as I had all the rules. I had all the food plan. I had all the exercise plan. I had it all figured out. But that first day that I broke my diet for whatever reason, mistake, I was done. And mm-hmm. never got back on. I never learned that falling off the plan was actually part of the plan because perfection, you don't learn anything if you're perfect. Right. You don't learn anything in perfection. You don't learn about yourself. You don't learn about your habits. You don't learn about your tendencies. You don't learn anything. And you don't grow if you're in perfection. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So that's why we stress how important mistakes are and how important getting back on plan after mistakes is because you can show yourself that imperfection is okay. That gaining 1.4 is just going to happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. It's just, yeah. Corinne told me one time, I don't think I'll ever forget this because I tell people this sometimes. If your weight fluctuates, if you did everything right and your weight fluctuates, goes up a pound overnight, you're probably weighing the contents of your colon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, seriously, that's mm-hmm. probably all it is.
Right.
Or you ate something that inflamed your body a little bit. It's, right. you know, when weight goes up like that so fast, it's usually temporary.
Mm-hmm.
It's either the weight in your colon or the inflammation in your, you know, whatever, because you had a salty meal or a gluten meal or whatever it is that your body is not tolerating.
Right.
So that's mm-hmm. why you get back on plan, because that temporary 1.4 pounds is going to come back off real quick too once you get back mm-hmm. on that plan.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which totally makes sense. But right. And, you know, my husband will be like, you could lose 3 pounds by Monday. That means nothing. And I know, but there's this, it's just like, maybe it's an excuse or a, I don't know if it's an excuse or how to say it. It's like, let it be this free for all, you know, like it started on Friday night. I'm like, oh, I'll just have this. And it just, how can I stop that from
You just stop it. You just stop and you say, you know what? It's done. I'm back on plan now. You can, it's really easy for you to just sit down and go, woe is me. I'll just eat some more. That's the easy part, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what you really want. What you really right. want is to get back on plan, because what you really want is a smaller pant size.
Right.
So you know, what would, I just keep hearing Corinne in my brain going, just stop, stop thinking that. Tell yourself you don't think that anymore. When you go down the toilet, you just go, no, you know what? I'm not going down the toilet today. That's not an option here, because I don't, you know, I don't want it to turn into a free for all. Or it did turn into a free for all, but that doesn't mean tomorrow has to.
Right.
You know, sometimes there's just not a huge answer. It's just, you just stop and get back on. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, if this is your habit to fall off plan and stay off plan for a little while, you end up getting back on anyway because you keep coming back.
Right, right, exactly.
So why do you allow yourself to sit in the muck of why can't I get this, when you obviously do get it because you get back on? You're just telling yourself a big story so you can keep eating.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. So catch yourself in your own crap stories. Say, you know what? That's not me today. I'm not going to do that today.
Okay.
Be your own self coach. Be your own coach. Catch yourself. So what are you going to do when you get off this call?
Well, I think I have my planner right here. So I think I'm going to make a plan for tomorrow, a realistic plan, as you just discussed in very good mm-hmm. detail that I heard on the last call. And I'm going to go through my notebook too a little bit more from camp.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to ask you one other question. Okay, so I have made a lot of plans. You know, I made a plan during camp and then every day after until this last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I assess the plans, if I eat something that's off the plan, do I have to should I be doing a recovery worksheet for everything that I eat that I didn't put on the plan?
Well, I think it depends on the reason you ate off plan. And here's why I say this. Let's say I planned, well, you know, I planned spaghetti. If you heard my comment earlier, mm-hmm. I planned spaghetti for tonight. If I had gone downstairs and I didn't have spaghetti sauce, and I had to pull tomorrow's dinner into tonight or something that's, you know, on protocol, I wouldn't do a recovery worksheet for that. But if I said, you know, I really don't want a spaghetti. I want to go out and have tacos or mm-hmm. Burger Republic or, you know, something like that, then I would need to do a recovery worksheet for that.
Okay.
Because it's mm-hmm. not like swapping my fuel foods because for a good reason. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't feel like eating on plan, so I'm going to eat whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you do the recovery worksheet. That, you know, when you change the plan for, you know, a reason that's not so great, or if you overeat, if you eat past your 2, or you have a big overeat.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And the sooner you can do the recovery worksheets after the overeat or the change of plans, the better. Because, you know, if you wait till the next day, you might not remember the thought that led to the overeat or the change in plans or the feeling. You might not remember it as vividly. So the sooner you can do those, the better.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, that's good. I think I'll do one right now. Yeah.
Okay. Go read The Day After Perfect. Just that little part. I think it's probably not even a whole chapter.
Okay.
That's my favorite concept of that book. It's a good one.
Okay. Great.
Does that help?
Yeah, it does.
All right.
Thank you so much, Nathay.
All right. See ya.
Have a good night. If you read my coach's SOS, you don't have to answer it.
I'm going to go in there after this and I'm going to go, okay, Joanne.
Yeah, I put it in there earlier. Exactly.
Take care.
Thanks, Kathy.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. All right, Mary, you're next.
Hey, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
I've been better.
Been better. I think you might be rooming with my very good friend at camp.
I think I am. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's up?
You know, I spent all that time thinking and getting ready to talk, and I'm never ready. I recently found out that I posted in the Ask Coaches about this, where I have got some spine issues now, and I have to have a breast reduction.
Okay.
And then today, because the conversation came, I went to the doctor's yesterday just because I have back pain. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, let's get a chest x-ray and let's get this blood work and let's do PT. And then maybe you have to have the procedure. And, then today at work, because I'm a nurse, I can look up my own chart. And I actually looked at my x-ray and I read the report and it's really bad. And my hemoglobin A1C is, I'm not a diabetic, but I'm pretty close.
Okay.
And I'm just not okay. Like, I luckily have an amazing accountability group who both live in Minnesota, and they offered to fly to Michigan to make sure I didn't stop at McDonald's on the way home.
That's awesome. So did you stop at McDonald's on the way home? Okay, good. Good.
No, I did not. I was really proud. I like specifically put myself in the further lane away from the left turn in. I'm like, I'm
good
just gonna
job.
Keep going.
Cause what would McDonald's have helped? Really? Nothing, right?
You know what I told myself, and this is the growth that I've really found since being in PNP, is I told myself on the way home, if I really want this, it can wait till tomorrow.
Good for
when
you.
When I put it on my plan. And I was, I don't think I would have been able to do that without my group and without the past couple of months with PNP. So that was good.
I would have pictured a quarter pounder on my chest. As that much more that would have to come off for me to have the reduction.
I had to argue with myself the whole way home. Like, you are in pain. You have back pain. You now have a new diagnosis that makes you cry. Why would you contribute to it?
And good it was for like, you.
It was so hard though.
That's some good self-coaching though, Mary. That really is.
But it felt like I was yelling at myself.
Well,
like, this is stupid. Like, why are you even entertaining this thought?
It sounds like you were talking like Corinne to yourself.
I was.
She wouldn't have said, this is stupid. She would have said, why are you even entertaining this? Put it on your plan for tomorrow and then decide. She would. That's exactly what she would have said. She was in your head.
She was, which I'm grateful for because I didn't eat it. Well, how do I deal with the thoughts? So, like, I've kind of had big boobs my whole life. Like, puberty hit and I was in fourth grade and and the teasing and all that stuff, and which is fine. I mean, kids are kids and I'm okay with the past, but it's been since I got pregnant, and then people have been at work making inappropriate comments. Mm-hmm. And I'm very good at shutting them down and saying, hey, that's inappropriate. It's not for you to say. Mm-hmm. But I've always like prided myself on like, I'm going to lose the weight and I'm not going to need surgery.
Okay.
And I'm not going to turn into my mom and I'm not going to get diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Now what do I tell myself?
The same thing.
But I do need surgery and I do have pre-diabetes.
So?
I just feel like a failure.
Well, that's because you're choosing to feel that way. Okay. So how much weight have you lost since you joined PMP?
Not a lot. I've lost like 4 pounds.
Okay. When did you join?
September.
Okay.
It's been a minute.
Okay.
But it's been a lot of, I lose and then I regain and then.
Okay.
So I'm down you, for now.
You've obviously done a lot of mental work. Right?
Yeah.
So what, are they ready to do surgery on you now?
No. I just got the appointments.
Okay.
So
what can you do that will make you feel a little bit more successful right now?
Well, not eating McDonald's was one.
That's a big one. That's huge. If that's your go-to when you're upset on the way home and you didn't do it, it's just like I was telling the girl earlier. If she stopped in the middle of a binge, for heaven's sake. If you stopped before heading into McDonald's, that's huge. That's weight that, you know, whatever it is that you ate is weight you don't have to take off tomorrow. Right?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. So what else can you do?
Well, I mean, I have some water I still have to drink to finish that. And okay. I've been doing a lot of really good work with exercise. I guess I could go exercise. Okay.
So is all this stuff you were doing before September?
No.
Okay. So you're really not a failure? And just because your A1C is up doesn't mean, have you talked to Jill Rosenow? Is that her name, Rosa now? She's lost 100 pounds. She was diabetic and isn't anymore. You know, you
really?
Yeah. You need to read about her. She's
you would think I would know this stuff because I'm a nurse, but it's like
PMP. You can it's possible that you can reverse that, losing weight and eating right and creating plans that work, creating, you know, following your plans and all that kind of stuff. So you can decide right now that you're a failure because you're headed that direction, or you can decide, well, here's Beth. Let's see what Beth just hit the chat. Do you see that?
I saw a pop up.
I had type 2 diabetes and reversed it with my diet. Okay. Type 2. And you just said you're not diabetic yet. Your A1C is a little high, right?
Yeah.
So you're spending.
But she put me on metformin, which is like a very mean, not nice drug. Anyone that's been on it knows why.
I guess my point is is that you can be sad. My mic keeps hitting me in the face. you can be sad and think you're a failure, or you can decide to take action. You can decide, you know what, this is not gonna be me. Thank you for the wake up call. I'm ready to take care of this back pain. I'm ready to get my reduction, and I'm ready to not have to need this metformin.
How do you decide what defines you?
You decide what defines you. You.
Why does that make me cry?
Well, what does your future self look like? What does Mary look like in a year?
She looks like she's teaching the kids how to hike.
Okay.
And she's fumbling in her pack for a first aid kit because Leo just fell down.
Okay. How much weight has she lost? 50 pounds?
Yeah.
All right.
At least.
So Mary's lost 50 pounds. She's teaching her kids how to hike. Is she on metformin?
No.
No? Has she had a reduction?
Probably.
Probably. So her back feels pretty good too then, right?
I wouldn't even know. You know, I'm excited to even think about what that might feel like.
Okay. So let's pretend her back doesn't hurt because she's hiking and she's 50 pounds less and she's had a reduction. Okay. So when you think about her, what do you think her actions are? That's your result. Okay. That Mary a year from now is your result line. What do you think her actions are?
Well, she's not stopping at McDonald's. Right. And she's eating 3 meals a day and not snacking and only having exceptions every once in a while.
When they're planned. She has them when they're planned. Yeah. What else? She drinks her water. She gets her sleep.
Yeah.
She follows her hunger scale, right?
She enjoys exercise.
She thought downloads every day to clear out the muck in her brain that talks back to her and calls her a failure.
Yep.
She does all that kind of stuff, right?
Okay.
She may not be diabetic. It doesn't matter because she feels really good about where she is and the work she's done in the next year. Okay. That's how you create the person you want to be. That's how you define yourself. You get to decide.
Then I'll work on that tonight.
Yeah, I think I would do a future self letter. And I think once you're finished with it, if it's made you cry, then you know it's the right one. And once you finish with it, I would keep it somewhere where you can read it every day to remind yourself of why you're not stopping at McDonald's. Okay. Picture her in your mind. What does she look like? What is she wearing? You know, she's outside hiking, right? With her kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And she's not eating McDonald's. She's probably realized that McDonald's just doesn't really taste that good. Actually.
It doesn't. I know. I agree.
I really don't understand why McDonald's is like such happy food for people, because I just have never thought it was all that great.
right.
But that's my opinion, right? You probably don't like Burger Republic. Who knows?
I don't. I think I'm going to have to go to it when I'm in Tennessee.
Make sure you plan it.
Right.
And make sure you eat it to your two.
That'll be fun.
Okay.
Yeah. You've given me a lot to think about. Well, it doesn't define me.
No, it doesn't. You define yourself.
Okay.
Okay. And just watch how you talk to yourself. Okay. That's a really great time to do a thought download, to see how you talk to yourself, because you go back and read it. And sometimes, you know, you ask yourself, would I talk to my kids this way or my best friend? Okay. You probably wouldn't. Same thing with you, Joanne. I know you're still on here. Watch how you talk to yourself. All right. Okay. I'm going to see you in a couple of months. That's kind of cool.
I'm really excited. I'm going to give you a big hug.
Yep. I'm going to hug you back. And my friend Kim will set you straight, girl.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm looking forward to it. This sounds weird, but.
No, she's really a sweetheart. I think you guys will get on well. And I'm so glad you have such a good accountability group.
They are amazing.
Yeah. You keep talking to them.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Go make your plan for tomorrow and make it a good one.
We'll do.
All right.
Okay.
Anything else?
No. That's great.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye. All right. I've got two people with hands raised and 30 more minutes. So these are probably the last two. Let's see how we do. Kelly, you're next. Hi there.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing okay. I basically want to talk about fat girl thinking, which you just talked about with a couple people before me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've just noticed last few weeks I've had a lot of fat girl thinking coming in. The most recent was this past weekend when I was dress shopping for my son's wedding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what should have been, well, it was a nice experience, but I don't know. I just had a really rough day after it. I reached out to my Marco Polo group and I TDL'd about it. And I feel better about it now, but I've just, like I said, I just keep having thoughts come in my head that I don't know.
Okay. So what kind of thoughts? Give me an example.
Well, like I had one thing I did notice about, because I've been doing recovery worksheets and I'm on day 51 of my 24-hour plan. So I've been consistent there. And I noticed that whenever I have a good weigh-in, I have that old Weight Watchers mentality thinking of, oh, I deserve a treat. I'm doing so well. And I had I think it was like a week and a half ago, I had a meltdown and I ate an entire pint of Ben & Jerry's ice cream.
Okay.
And I TDL'd about it and did recovery worksheets. And that's how I came to realize that I think that's what this is. It's the old, you know, awarding myself.
Did you listen to last week's podcast?
Which one?
On rewarding yourself?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't do that.
Girl, I can't believe you're this call. That's so funny because Friday's podcast that I was going to look up the number. I think it's like 95 maybe.
Okay.
That came out last Friday was Corinne and I talking about a question at camp in January where one of the girls asked if she could, was it okay to reward herself with food? And just picture Corinne, no. Listen, hear Corinne's voice in your head going, oh my God, are you a dog? Okay. Oh. But seriously, food rewards, sometimes you have to look at why you reward yourself with food. Why is it that it's a food reward rather than a pat on the back or
I feel like it sounds like it's just a thought, but when I'm also newly empty nester, so I'm all by myself, I'm not married, I'm divorced, so it's like I've been talking to myself in my head like every night, like, have your back, Kelly, you know, I'm trying so hard. But I think there's just so many adjustments with, you know, I guess loneliness, but I'm trying to combat that. Like I joined a gym. I'm going 3 times a week after work. I've been doing it for like 3 weeks now. I have a meeting Thursday night with somebody to do volunteer work. I'm trying different things, but I don't know.
So why aren't you just okay with being alone?
I should be.
Well, there's that should word, but why don't you work on that? Why don't you work on being okay being in the house by yourself?
Yeah.
Because really, I mean, if you think about it, it's your son that's getting married, right?
Yeah, my older son's getting married and my younger son left about a month ago to go away to college.
Okay, so isn't that what you want for them?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't, I mean, I used to remember when my boys left for college, it was awful, you know, and I have a husband, right? And I would have to tell myself, this is what I want for them. I don't want them to live upstairs and work at Publix the rest of their life. You know, this is the way things should happen. This is what I want for them.
Yes. That's 100% correct.
Yeah. 100% correct. So what do you want for yourself?
Well, that's just it. That's why I'm trying to, you know, keep busy and, you know, I want to volunteer. I've wanted to do that for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing that. And I want to go to the gym. I, you know, just joined. I just did Planet Fitness for now. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually liking it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm slowly, surely getting into it. I can't do a lot of hardcore stuff because I have a knee replacement. But mm-hmm. I talked to the trainer there and I have a plan. Mm-hmm. But I just I was gonna wait to talk about this because I'm going to the April camp also, but I'm like, I can't wait till April. So I just, is there any like advice you can give me? Like what do I do when those fat girl thinking thoughts come in? And just,
well, give me an example of one. What do you tell yourself?
Well, there's a lot of them.
Just tell me one. Tell me one that.
One that resonates a lot is, this is taking so long. I'm never going to do it. And
okay.
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I've lost 36 pounds since mm-hmm. last March.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like I'm kind of like the slow and steady, but I just keep, I don't know, the thoughts just, the negativity is there.
Yeah. So what if that's just your brain saying, hey, let's have some ice cream. And you just answer it back and go, you know what? I've lost 36 pounds. I don't think I know. You know, and it's not coming back. So I think, you know, it might be taking a little bit longer because it's not, you know, something that's unsustainable, but that's okay because I'm still losing. You just talk back to them, basically. In fact, what I would do is I'd get a piece of paper, and on one side, I would write down mm-hmm. all the things you tell yourself. This is hard. It's taking too long. I don't think I can do it. I really want this. You know, whatever it is, all those, every fat girl thinking thought that you can come up with. And then on the other side of the paper, write an answer to every single one of them. Okay?
Okay.
This is taking too long. I've lost 36 pounds in 10 months. That's like a pound a week, right? That's how I lost my weight, a pound a week. Took me 18 months to lose 80 pounds.
Wow.
And it hadn't come back.
You know, right. I didn't look at it that way.
Yeah.
Like when you do that, it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to do that.
The next one.
Get off this.
This is really hard. It's not hard. It's four basics, you know?
Right.
So write them all down and write your responses to them. And then I would carry that piece of paper around with you and read it, you know, or put it somewhere, you know, you're sitting in the bed now. If that's where your fat girl thinking happens, put it on the bedstand, wherever it is, and go through and read them. Because really, once you write them down, as you're writing them, you're going to have these are really ridiculous moments.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Because that's what happens with fat girl thinking in your head, is it just rolls around in there, and you give it credence. You make it your beliefs. When you actually, if you put it on paper and you read it back, sometimes you're like, wow, I can't believe I talked to myself this way. This is just not cool.
Like you said, you never talk to a sister or a friend that way.
Right.
You know, even when I was dress shopping, I brought two friends with me, and I did find the dress I'm wearing at my son's wedding. And, you know, I'm trying these dresses on, and they're telling me how beautiful I look and blah. And they were honest, the ones that didn't look good, but I didn't believe it myself. And it's like sad. It's like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I took the dress that I'm wearing, and I have like six copies of it, and I have it on my refrigerator. I have it in my office at work. I plastered it everywhere.
Yeah.
That is my motivation.
You know, the beautiful thing about being the mother or the groom is that you get to see the joy on your son's face.
Yes.
When his girl walks down the aisle.
Yeah. I'm excited.
You get that. It's, you know, I've done this. Both of my boys are married now. And I'm going to start crying. I can't even explain to you how heartwarming doesn't even begin, how joyous it is to know that your boy has found his girl.
Yes.
You know, I remember telling both of them, Olivia and Grace, both girls, that I was entrusting my baby to them.
Yep.
And that I was so happy that they picked them. And, you know, that's what it boils down to, because that's what you want for your children. You want them to be married and happy and find their person. And, ooh, here we go with the tears. And, that's what that day is all about. It doesn't matter what you're wearing or how you look. I mean, I have one of my before and afters is my two sons' weddings. I don't know if you've seen it or not. In the first one, I weighed 230 pounds in that first one. And I won't lie to you and say, you know, that I felt great about walking down the aisle in that dress. There was a conversation in my head all the way down that aisle about how this was a joyous day and I wasn't going to wreck it with fat girl thinking.
Right.
And that was before I even found PMP, right? That was, this is not about me. This is about them and about celebrating them. And I'm going to show up like the mother of the groom needs to show up. And that's
right.
It's just a beautiful mindset to put yourself in. I'm really happy for you.
Yeah, I'm excited. There's so many good things happening this year. It's a really good year.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have a lot of work to do because I'll be at the 2-day camp before April. So
good.
It's the year of Kelly. So I'm trying to work on things.
Good for you. Good for you. The 2-day is amazing. Make sure you speak up.
I will. I'm going to have my voice. I'm working on that. So
good. When is your son getting married?
July 19th.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about 5.5 months away. So
that's cool. Excited.
Yeah.
And it is.
You know, everything's coming in now, like showers being planned. So there's a lot of the fun stuff coming up.
Yep. Very good. All right.
Thank you so much. I'm going to start on that list.
You're welcome.
Okay. Talk to
you soon. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. Lynn, it's your turn. Let's see what you got. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good.
So I've actually been wanting to get on a call with you for a while about some career change things, but
okay.
However, I had something very interesting happen to me this morning that I actually want to talk about.
Okay.
And it doesn't have anything directly right now to do with food or weight loss, but I do want to share that it did start with a recovery worksheet a while ago. I had picked a small piece of something out of a pot and eaten it really quickly, you know, like half a nibble. Mm-hmm. So I did a recovery worksheet on it. Mm-hmm. And I started realizing what the physical feeling was when I like want to lick a spoon or want to have a bite of something. And pretty soon I started noticing the exact same feeling in many other situations that had nothing to do with eating.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been trying to just be really aware of when I feel that feeling and just kind of letting it come and letting it go away and letting it arise, you know.
What's the feeling?
It is like a kind of anxious, grabby, searing kind of feeling.
Like impulsive?
No, it's more like an, I need this. Okay. I mean, I know that's the thought, but it's sort of a,
okay.
I noticed it, also applying to when, I kind of run storylines, you know, we all tell stories to ourselves and have conversations in our head. And, so I had been working on when I noticed myself doing that, thinking to myself, this is my cue to pause. And so I'd pause, kind of feel it, let it go away. And, just been doing that kind of over and over again. And then this morning I was driving to work and I was, you know, thinking about something that I was going to say or someone was going to say in a meeting I was headed to. And I just said, this is my cue to pause. And I paused and let it go. And then I noticed this other feeling in my body that was another kind of anxious feeling, but it was like a pit of the stomach kind of anxious feeling, but not bad. Just, this is going to sound weird, but just quiet. And I realized as I thought about it over the course of the day, because I still have it right now. It goes away when I'm distracted, or I'm talking to somebody or I'm working on something. I think that feeling is always there. And I just cover it up with all kinds of distractions. So
what do you think it is?
I think it is. I think it's like a, a sense of insecurity or a sense of lacking something.
So like doubt or dread or?
It's not, I want to say it feels like nervousness. Mm-hmm. I'm a professional musician, and so it feels a little bit like I feel if I'm about to go on stage. So I'm very used to the feeling, so it doesn't bother me. I'm like, okay, it's that feeling. I can do other things while I feel this way. But whatever the thought is that's behind it, I have no idea what it is. It must be, I mean, I can only imagine that it's something that I've practiced for so long that it's like very ingrained. And
well, it could be, it could, you're probably on the right track that it is a second level emotion. It's something that you, that's always there, but that you're masked, that's masked as something else. Fear does that a lot. You know, you might feel anxious, and if you get past the anxiousness, there's just a deep fear about something. Doubt does that a lot too. Self-doubt, unworthy does that sometimes. So I think what I would do for you is I would really concentrate on not only the physical sensations, but the dialogue that's in your head. Okay. Do you thought download quite a bit?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you just simply thought download, what am I feeling right now? What do you think would come out? You're thinking too hard. No, seriously, you are. When I see that, that means you're censoring what you're going to say.
Okay.
Okay. So when you're thought downloading, don't censor.
Right. Yeah. Just I don't censor when I write. I think I censor a lot when I talk.
Okay. Well, and okay. So, yeah. But that's a key thing to finding what's down deeper is making sure you're not censoring, making sure you're not stopping too soon.
Right.
Sometimes what you do is you thought download and you go back in and you say, oh my gosh, that's interesting. I'll share something with you. I thought downloaded today and I started with, in what ways am I amazing? Okay. That's how I started my thought download. And about halfway through, I got to, why can't I show up that way in this part of my life? And I was like, wait a minute. And it ended with, working from home is isolating. Okay, because you know, I just had this big career change. I'm used to being in an office with a bunch of other people, and Ken wasn't home today, and I was by myself. That's an uncensored thought download. When you start with being amazing and you end with, oh my gosh, I'm so isolated, that's just a free-for-all of thoughts that came out, that came out in that much page. You know, it wasn't like it was a 14-page thought download. So that's how you get down to the deeper level thing, is you just keep writing and then you go back and say, I wonder why I said that to myself. And then you write about that. So pick something out of your thought download that looks really interesting to you. You know, play the coach on your own shoulder, right? And say, wonder what that means, and write some more about that. And I bet you, I think it's really cool that you see the, or you feel the physical feelings in your body of your feelings. Now it's time to identify them and why they're there and the thoughts that are creating them.
Yeah, it's I think when I feel the physical feelings, sometimes they're so visceral that I have a hard time identifying. I can tell you exactly, I can imagine exactly how it physically feels, but to put a name to it. The interesting thing, what has been though, that over the course of the day, I've found that I thought, well, if I feel like this all the time anyway, then when I get anxious because I have to do something I don't want to do, there's no, like, that's silly because I just already feel like this. So it won't bother me if I have to go do this thing that I think is going to make me feel bad. Does that make sense?
So do you distract from the feeling or do you just ignore it?
I think I don't ignore it. I think I just let it be there and do what I'm going to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I think I would be distracting myself with thoughts, and then I would avoid it, which I would avoid the task because it would kind of bring up the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's odd because I'll sort of have this physical feeling of the anxiety or the nervousness. But like I can kind of feel happy at the same time. I feel like I'm two people trapped in one body right now. But it's not actually unpleasant. Mm-hmm.
It's just a low level anxiety because you're going on stage.
Well, I mean, as I'm going on stage, it's a, you always have that feeling and you just kind of, but it's almost like when you go on stage, it's kind of like a high of you. You're nervous, but you're excited and you're just going to go and like, you know, you do your thing despite having that physical feeling. You know how to, I think I just know how to manage having that feeling in my body and doing other things anyway, because I've practiced it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I will definitely thought download more on it. Usually when I thought download, I do it every morning and I usually write for probably anywhere from 20 minutes to half an hour.
Wow.
Well, I've been in a practice for a long time of just sort of stream of consciousness writing like three mm-hmm. pages in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not always very directed in what am I going to write about today. I just sort of like start writing and sort of mm-hmm. see what comes out and where it goes. But I do sometimes slow down and find myself thinking and I say, well, it's not the point to think, it's the point to write and see what comes out.
Right. I think I would do some directed ones.
Okay.
Yeah. When you feel that next time, if you can take 3 minutes aside mm-hmm. and say, why am I feeling this right now?
Okay.
And see what you come up with.
All right.
You know, because if you're not catching it in the middle of the feeling,
mm-hmm.
then you might not be figuring it out. You know, you've distracted yourself enough that something else is taking your attention.
Right. Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
You want to talk about job change real quick?
Sure. Sure. I don't know that my job is going to change. It might. I might want it to, but I think that what I wanted to ask about was I remembered, I don't remember how long ago it was. I listened to a replay of some call that you had done where you were saying that it only took, it wasn't very long after you had actually really written about what it is that you really wanted to do that you decided to change your job.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some, let's see how to try to say this efficiently. My question is, if I'm thinking about imagining my future where I'm doing something, it could be something different or it could be the same thing I'm doing, but where I'm doing what I want to do in any job. There are multiple ways that I could see that working out. Right now I'm a musician, but I'm a music professor. So I'm at a university in a university town and, you know, my full-time job is teaching and performing as part of that. I am getting married in June and that's a pretty new thing that, mm-hmm. Happened. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. I'm getting engaged is new. And, my fiance lives in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's suddenly the possibility has opened up of, well, maybe I move out there and I would have to change my entire life. And I would not, almost certainly not get another job that is exactly like what I do right now. I'm probably okay with that. But so I can envision things working out happily here. I can envision things working out happily there. And so when I'm working on kind of future self stuff, I'm sure I'm overthinking it, but but I'm thinking, well, especially because some of my goals that I'm trying to envision are goals that have to happen here. And then some bigger, maybe longer term goals are things that I envision happening out there. And so I feel again like I'm sort of splitting my future vision into two different possible tracks it could take. And it's confusing me.
All right, let me blow your mind.
Okay.
You can create any future in any location. So the things you're envisioning in Pennsylvania, or I don't know why I said Pennsylvania. Where are you?
Well, I'm actually very close to Pennsylvania. I'm West Virginia.
It must be the accent or something. I don't know. So the future you envision in West Virginia could happen in California and vice versa. Now, it wouldn't be your exact job, your exact location, but you can create any future you want. It is not location dependent. All right. Wrap your mind around that and don't overthink it, because it's the truth. Because your future is created with your thoughts. Okay. That's how it starts. Mm-hmm. Because the future is the result line of the model. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I hadn't thought of it that way, but that makes total sense.
Okay. Yeah. So the work that I did was on my purpose. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time thinking about what my purpose was. Why was I here? Why was I in this point in my life? And where did I see myself going? All right. I want to ask you, I don't even know if you heard yourself, but you said, I would have to change my entire life.
Hmm.
How does that feel?
It feels exciting and scary.
Which
at the same time. Okay, I had to pick one. Let's see, let me say it. I would have to change my entire... Well, if I say it that way, if I say I would have to change my entire life, then that sounds, scared. Mm-hmm. But if I said I get to change my entire life, that's very exciting.
Exactly. One word went from petrified to exciting, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the theme of this call is be careful how you talk to yourself.
Okay, yeah.
But seriously, you have an opportunity to change your entire life, all right? And that means you get to create the life that you want,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You can do it in music or you can do it in something else. What do you play?
I play bassoon.
Bassoon.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's cool. So if you go to California, congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So let's say you land in California. What kind of life would you want to create out there?
Well, what I want to do is I would love to be kind of a very an independent performer and an independent teacher. Mm-hmm. And I actually, this is another part of the changing everything. I did sign up for life coach training, mm-hmm. because I see a huge need for this among musicians, because we are such head cases who'd say the worst horrible things to ourselves.
Well,
all the time.
You go on stage with the pit of your stomach hurting every time, right?
Well, right, yeah. And so, you know, what I teach bassoon, mm-hmm. and I love teaching bassoon. I'm very good at it, mm-hmm. but it's hard, mm-hmm. but it's simple. You know, like I can tell people to do the same five things over and over and over again, and I don't mind doing that, but it really comes down to, in the end, how you handle your mind around the instrument and how you handle your mind around
performing.
That's
exactly like what I do, Lynn.
I know.
The basics over and over again, but it all comes down to how your mind is, right?
So the things that I'm actually interested in teaching have very little to do with the instrument anymore. They're all about how do you think about this, and how do you think about something to learn it? How do you think about it to be able to perform at your top level, and all of that? So I find that just teaching bassoon because it is a very, it's an awesome instrument, but it's a very niche instrument. Mm-hmm. My reach and my ability to help people, I think, is not as great as it could be if I taught something that was more general. So I'm interested in, coaching people either through universities or through sort of an independent program who are musicians to just handle all this stuff more efficiently, because, you know, learning the model and everything has really changed so much about how I approach everything. Mm-hmm. And I have this amazing laboratory of my instrument to be able to practice all of it. So
you
what
also
I want to
probably
do,
have sorry. An amazing network of people that you can offer those services to.
Yes. Yeah.
So you already have an audience. So yeah. Could you do this in California or in West Virginia?
I could totally.
Kansas.
I could do it anywhere.
Yes.
Yeah. Could do it anywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that envisioning that future is scary only because part of me thinks, well, you have this tenure track. Well, if I'm tenured, I'm a tenured professor. They can never fire me. You know, all this kind of bullshit thoughts of you're so lucky to have this job because, you know, the year I got the job, this was the only job in the entire country open in this kind of position. Mm-hmm. And all of that. And I know that that's just sort of the...
Does that matter? Does all that really matter?
No. Not really. No.
So what if that's just the thoughts that your brain is throwing at you because it's looking at a big change coming around the bend and your brain doesn't like change? Yeah. You've already signed up for the life coach training?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you're on your way, right? Is it life coach school?
It is, yeah.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
And I figure, you know, at the very least, it's going to make me an even better teacher, even if I stay here. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's worth the investment.
Yeah.
So.
That's amazing. You get to create your future. That's what, but in September, that's what I decided. After I did all the work on purpose, I left a job where I could have stayed for a very long time. I created the job, basically. Mm-hmm. I directed the job. And I decided that that wasn't the future that I wanted. So once you make that decision, then, you know, things tend to fall together for you. But you create it.
Okay.
Figure out what lights you up. It's the best thing I can tell you.
Okay.
And it sounds like teaching musicians how to a little bit of mindset. I mean, I want you to watch this when it gets posted and watch your face. Watch the light in your face when you talk about it.
Okay.
It's kind of cool.
Okay. I will. Thank you.
Does that help?
Yeah, it does. It does. I think you're right. I just need to, when I write about this and I TDL about it, I feel really good about it. And then, you know, those thoughts, my brain throws the thoughts up.
Yeah.
But I think it's the right thing. Yeah.
Sometimes you just know and your brain throws a little bit of fit and that's okay. You just let it have its little fit and then you move on. That might be why the pit of your stomach is bothering you a little bit right now.
Mm-hmm. That could be. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could be just the change. Something to think on.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Let's hit these questions really quick. Oh, they're way over here. Hang on. Beth. I make my plan for the day, but during dinner, I take out the carrots to munch, or at lunch I add an extra piece of chicken. All healthy, but add-ins. Feeling a bit hungry at these times, but didn't plan these things. Should I plan the snacks in? Yeah, I plan them. You don't have to eat them because they're on the plan, but if it makes you feel better to have them on the plan and have them available to you, then absolutely put them on your plan. You don't want to be eaten behind your back. So if it's pretty much a given that you're going to munch on the carrots or the chicken or whatever, I definitely put them on the plan. All right. Thank you, Beth. Said something nice. All right, guys, gals, ladies. I hope you have a great evening, and I will see you all very soon. Bye.